created to dream. And what I want to do this morning, something a little different, I'm going to do a little review of the previous 2 weeks' life group. That's when Rick does his video teaching. And here's the first week, and I'm going to give you a summary of it. Rick Warren said there are 6 phases to faith when it comes to a dream. You dream it, it's an idea. You then go to decision stage. Decision is when you act on it. And let me say this, many of us, listen, talk ourselves out of the dream between steps 1 and 2. And we never act on it. He says, for every 10 dreamers, there's 1 decision maker that acts on it. So once we get to the place of acting on it, we then move to a delay. Things happen, and it doesn't go according to our timetable. We then hit difficulties. There can be resistance toward it. Voices from other people say there's no way you can do that. But yet there's the voice of God that has to be stronger. We then even get to a place called a dead end. The children of Israel left Egypt. They went towards the Red Sea. They looked up and the Egyptians were chasing them. They were at a dead end. They thought they would die. But that's when God did the miraculous. He opened and parted the Red Sea, and they left and they went across on dry ground. 6 is deliverance. That's when God shows up and fulfills the dream you have in your life. Week 2, last week, here was the points of from last week. Discovering God's dream for you. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, I really don't have one. I'm not sure what God wants me to do with my life. Listen closely. D-R-E-A-M, it's an acrostic. D, dedicate your life to God. What does that mean? Get alone with God and say, God, here I am. You just present yourself, your mind, your heart, your emotions, everything about you. God, here I am. And then R, this is critical, reserve time alone with God. What does that mean? It's not a one and done deal. You just don't do it once. You have to do it repeatedly. Here's the secret. If you reserve time in your day and during the week, and you go to your prayer closet, and you say, God, here I am, and you read his word and listen, here's what's going to happen. He will develop a photograph or a picture on your heart. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be your dream. It's going to be what he wants you to do. And the more time you spend in his presence and you listen with your heart, you offer yourself, God will drop something into your life that wasn't there before, and it's his plan for you to live out. E, evaluate your abilities. It's good to know, what do I do good and what do I don't do so good? And as you evaluate that, the dream will line up with what you are good at. Play to your strengths. A, this is a big one. Associate with godly dreamers. Now, we have to live life, whether it's family or friends, that people that may tend to drag us down. We want to influence them, not them influence us. But here's a secret. Find 2 or 3 people in your life that are godly dreamers. And when you get together with them, fan the flame of the dream in each other's hearts. Here's what it'll do. It'll lift you up. It'll just lift you up. And it makes a huge difference. And then M is make your dream public. Rick says there comes a point where you have to announce it. You go public with it. And here's what it does. Number one, it makes you accountable. When you articulate your dream to somebody or to a group of people, you become accountable to follow through on it. The second thing is this. Chances are your dream needs other people in order for it to get fulfilled. If you can do the dream yourself, then it's probably not a very big dream. It'll take other people as a group, whether it's a small group or a church family or whatever it is, to accomplish the dream. Now, for 6 weeks, we're going to go through this series. And I hope two things happen. If you have a dream, God will just nurture it and grow it. If you don't have a dream, he'll drop one into your life. On the seventh Sunday after we finish the 6 weeks, it's the first Sunday of November, here's what I want to do. I want to spend some time during the service and let people share their dream. To say, well, hey, this is what I think God is leading me to do, or my small group, or the church. I mean, it's sharing your dream. So you can be thinking about that, and time goes on, we'll see who would like to share their dream. So those are the first 2 weeks, and this coming week, it's all about how to make wise decisions. It'll be good. All right. So the sermon title today is this: A Faith That Handles Delays Patiently. We're going to talk about patience this morning. You know, one of the greatest acts of faith any person can do is this. Sometimes it's just waiting patiently. Can I tell you, patience is hard to come by. It's a difficult lesson to learn. I've made many mistakes in life because of my impatience. You know, we wait on freeways. We have to be patient in grocery stores. We have to be patient when we go to the doctor's office. We have to sometimes be patient in restaurants. And so we're waiting a good share of our life. And if you're like me, sometimes I get irritated or grumpy at having to wait. I mean, it's just not a natural thing. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And I want you to say this: I am so glad you are here, because this message is for you. I knew you were going to have fun with that. It's for all of us. So in the book of James that Bill read for us, he uses three different groups of people to talk about patience. He talks about farmers, prophets, and then he talks about Job. In the verses that Bill read, there are 8 references to either being patient or waiting. 8 in these 5 or 6 verses. And so it's a big deal. So we're going to talk about how faith helps us to handle things, especially delays, when we're not getting what we want in life. So first up, when is waiting patiently an act of faith? We're going to dive into that. Number one in your notes: waiting patiently is an act of faith when circumstances are uncontrollable. Uncontrollable. Let's read again verses 7 and 8. Be patient, my friends, until the Lord comes back. Remember how patient farmers are as they wait for their valuable crops to mature and ripen. They also wait patiently for the spring and fall rains to do their work. You too must be patient. Don't give up, because the Lord could arrive at any time. I have a sister in Iowa, and she and her husband farm. They've got quite a few acres, but when I talk to her on the phone, here's what she often tells me. Well, we've got it in, and this is where the crops are at or where they're growing, but it's a little dry, or it's too wet, and we're not sure how it's going to end up. Farmers in the book of James have to be patient because of an uncontrolled type of circumstance. They just don't get it. They don't know if a tornado will come through. They don't know if it's going to rain or it's going to be too dry. And depending on the balance, it impacts what the end crop is. So farmers, according to James, are forced to wait through uncontrollable circumstances. You may be here today, and you are in the middle of a season of your life that's uncontrollable. You just, it's beyond you. You can't get your hands around it. It's a beyond, and it's bigger than you can handle. And so just like a farmer, they can't control the weather, the economy, or labor prices, neither can you or I control certain things in life. It feels uncontrollable. Here's a quote. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Understand that a big part of life is our response to it. And we either sink or swim based on our reaction to the uncontrollable circumstances. So you may be here, as I mentioned earlier, and you feel like, wow, this is bigger than I am. Let me tell you, faith is waiting patiently until things change. Now, here's a quote. You cannot control other people. You can only control your reactions to them. Let me stop here. There's different types of uncontrollable circumstances, but here's a big one. When you have a person in your life or people that are a little bit out of whack or out of balance, and you cannot control them, but they can drive you nuts. You cannot control what they do or don't do. The only thing you can control is your reaction, your 90% to them. And so faith takes root in the 90% soil of your heart so that you can get a sense of, wow, God, I need you to help me in this because it's bigger than I am. Circumstances can often seem uncontrollable. Number two, the second truth about waiting patiently as an act of faith is it's when truth is unpopular. Now, this particular passage, James talks about prophets. A prophet would announce truth. We as God's children speak truth. The media, the what happens in Hollywood, they have their own narrative, but truth comes from God. So let's read together these couple of verses. Another example of patience in the face of suffering is God's prophets who spoke truth in hard times. Today we honor them for their patient endurance when they suffered unjustly. Rick Warren in his material says, if you want to be popular, don't be a prophet. Because when a prophet speaks truth from God's word, he or she can become very unpopular. But circle the word patience there in that first verse. It comes from the word macrothumia. That's the Greek word, and it's the word where we get thermometer. And thermometers measure heat, how hot it is, how cold it is. And here's what it's saying. Don't let yourself get too hot. Have a long fuse. Be long-suffering. You got to let that muscle grow. Because that sense of measuring heat, when we blow up or we react and we get upset with somebody else because we've shared truth with them and maybe they don't want it, maybe they're not open to it, and, you know, it can impact us and hurt us. But here's the deal. Don't get too hot too quick. Let your fuse get longer and longer. Become a patient person when somebody disagrees with you. It's just a maturity factor. And we find the prophets had to deal with stuff that once they said it, people may not accept it, but they had to stretch their fuse. Don't get too hot too quick. Be long-suffering. I came across a quote I thought was pretty good. It's by a pope. Here's what he said. Truth is not determined by a majority vote. Think about it. Truth is not determined by when 100 people vote or 1,000 people vote. God determines truth. And so we have to embrace truth. But listen, there will be times when you speak truth to someone, you share a message of hope or grace, and they don't want to hear it. But our job, our end, is Macrothumia, we have to have a long fuse. We have to not get hot too quick. Here's another quote. Just because truth is unpopular doesn't mean that it should not be proclaimed. I like that. I mean, we have to be tactful and loving, but truth must be proclaimed. You know why? That's what changes lives. The grace of God through Christ changes behavior, does miracles, and helps people. Some people may not be interested, but on the other hand, we will proclaim truth, even if it's unpopular, because we know grace in the end wins. Okay, so when is waiting patiently in active faith? When circumstances are uncontrollable. Number two, when truth is unpopular. And number three, when pain is unbearable and unexplainable. When pain is unbearable and unexplainable. He now talks about Job. Let's read it together. Then remember the example of Job. Job continued to patiently trust God while enduring great pain. But we know how God fulfilled his purpose for Job, and that his plan for Job ended in good, because the Lord always treats us with tender compassion and merciful kindness. Here's what happened to Job. He has 10 children, and they all die on the same day. He loses his livestock, his livelihood. He loses his health, his body. He becomes sick. And he had his wife, but even she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Job lost a lot. He had unbearable and unexplainable pain. But here's what happened. Job decided to patiently wait before God. Chapters 1 through 37 in the book of Job are all about his struggle. 37 chapters. Here's what happened in chapter 38, verse 1. Then, this word, then the Lord spoke out of the storm. You see, you may be in chapters 1 through 37 of unbearable and unexplainable pain in your life. You are somewhere in there. But there will come a point where God steps in to turn it around. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. And we find in the last part of the book of Job, God restored everything and even doubled certain things to Job. Now, he was in the Super Bowl of suffering. If there's ever a guy that endured a lot of pain, it was him. But listen closely. Job is an example of someone who won the Super Bowl of faith in trusting God, and he ended up winning as a champion through this test. Whatever you're going through is a test. And so we have to understand that pain can be unbearable and unexplainable. But we have to continue to trust God and just wait patiently. Here's a quote. God never allows a pain without a purpose. If you are in pain this morning in some area, let me tell you, if you believe there's a purpose that God can use in it and through it, let me tell you, that'll carry you through it. That's what happened to Job. And here's another quote. I like this one. We need to faith it until we make it. We have to faith it until we get to chapter 38 like Job did, until God comes through and something breaks, it changes, and we find we're in a different place in life. But until we get there, pain can be unbearable and unexplainable, and actively waiting in faith is a way to honor God through it. So circumstances are uncontrollable. Truth is unpopular. Pain can be unbearable, unexplainable. Here's the last question I want to answer. Back of your sermon listing guide. How can you and I trust God if you're in the middle of a delay season in your life? It's just not going the way you want. Three thoughts. Number one, the first thing is, like farmers, we wait expectantly. We wait expectantly. The psalmist said, I wait expectantly, trusting God to help as he has promised. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about your circumstance in life. It could be with another person or a difficult season through just general circumstances. Could be financial, could be relational. And here's the question. What are you expecting? Where's your expectation level of what God could do in it and through it? The psalmist says, I wait expectantly, trusting God for his help. Isaiah says, no one who waits for my help will be disappointed. We have to expect good things. Here's a quote. You begin always by expecting good things to happen. So what we have to do when we're in a difficult time in life is to raise our expectation or attitude of what God can do in it and through it, even though it's a difficult time. And here's another quote. Expect great things and great things will come. So do a heart check this morning. Whatever you're in the middle of, ask yourself the question, am I expecting God to help me in a supernatural way in this difficult circumstance? Okay, so that's like farmers wait expectantly. Number two, like the prophets, wait without complaining. Wait without complaining. Now, sandwiched in the middle of this passage that Bill read from James 5, there's this verse about grumbling. And let's read it together. Don't grumble about each other, my brothers and sisters, or God will judge you. Remember, the great judge is coming. He is standing at the door. So some people, when they get up in the morning, they say, rise and shine. Others get up and they say, rise and whine. So the question is, which category are we in? But James says is, remember, don't grumble. Don't grumble. Listen, if I get tired or I'm in a bad season of life, I confess there's times I grumble or complain or murmur. And yet I have to check that. Be careful of it. Because I don't want to empower the negative. And so James says, don't grumble about each other or your circumstance. Lamentation says, it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I got a quote. Here's a good one. I like this one. Complaining is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Y'all are understanding this real good. Isn't it true? Complaining is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but we get nowhere. Okay, here's another one. Complaining is contagious. Choose to spread positivity instead. Do you realize that you spread stuff? If you're positive, you can spread that. If you're negative and complainer, you spread that. It's contagious whichever way you go. The question is, which are you? And especially when we're hurting, it's easier to grumble and complain. I've done that. So we have to be careful to be intentional like the prophets and do it without complaining. Do it without murmuring and grumbling, because God just wants to grow us from the inside to get through this difficult season of life. Okay, like a farmer, you wait expectantly. Number two, like the prophets, you wait without complaining. And finally, number three, like Job, wait confidently. Confidently. Read with me verse 14 in your notes. If a man dies, can he come back to life? I will wait for better times. I will wait till this time of trouble is ended. Here it is. Be confident that God is in control. You're somewhere between 1 and chapter 37 in the book of Job. If that's a difficult time in your life, there will come a point when the difficulty will end, because God will bring us through it. And we have to be confident that he will do that for us. Read with me Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We can be confident or build our confidence when we wait before the Lord and he will renew our strength. It builds our inner person up when things are falling apart around us. And finally, 2 Peter 3:9. Let's read that together. The Lord isn't being slow in keeping his promise to return. Instead, he's waiting on you, being patient with you, because he doesn't want anyone to be lost and perish. Instead, he is giving you time to change your heart and turn to him. God is patient with mankind. You know why? He wants more people to come to faith in a personal relationship with Christ. He's just being patient. Now, if you are already in Christ in that faith relationship, let me tell you what's going on. He's waiting and giving you time so that your heart may change. What does that mean? He's growing it. He's maturing it. He's stretching the faith muscle. He wants you to become more mature. He wants you to become stronger. And so we have this picture that God is patient with us for people to come to Christ, and then secondly, for people who are in the faith to grow inwardly. So here's a couple quotes. Here's the first one. Your energy introduces you before you even speak. Let me explain that. When you walk into a room or group of people, the energy from your life, the confidence or the lack of confidence, goes before you. You don't even have to say a word. And so we find here God is saying, I want my people like Job to be confident in midst of the struggle or the difficult season of life. And here's the last one. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever to be able to do it. Let me explain that. The moment you doubt, the moment the confidence gives way, that's the moment you will cease to fly. On the other hand, if you grab it, you gain it, you take it back, you go after it. Say, wait a minute, I choose to be confident that I can fly despite what's going on around me. Listen, that's what will make the difference. And Job became confident that God, even though I lost my family, my health, my livestock, my livelihood, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to expect good things from you. And I'm going to move forward with this sense of inner perspective that God, you're going to come through for me and make all the difference in my life. That's waiting expectantly and confidently before God. So those are the three things: waiting expectantly, doing without complaining, and then waiting confidently. So I have one last slide I want to show you. It's about Abraham. Here it is. As you know, Abraham was called to leave his home and to go forth to a place he didn't know where he was going. God just called him and asked him to do that. And in Acts 2:26, the message says this about Abraham. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Here's my question. Listen carefully. Where have you pitched your tent? Is it in the land of hope? Or is it in the land of despair or discouragement, and you're basically stuck in a place that is not a good place? God is calling you today to take your tent and pitch it, park it, set the stakes down in the land of hope. Because you'll have to wait patiently through an act of faith when circumstances are uncontrollable, when truth is unpopular, when sometimes pain is unbearable and unspeakable, and when you pitch your tent in the land of hope, you wait expectantly, say, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to expect good things despite what's going on in my life. Number two, I'm going to do my best to hold back on complaining, grumbling. I'm going to try and not get too hot. I'm going to stretch my faith muscle that I will continue to be patient. I'm going to let you just work. And then lastly, like Job, we wait confidently as we pitch our tent in the land of hope. God rewards patience. And you may be here today, and you're being tested in that very area. He will reward you and bless you. We just have to position ourselves in a place of faith, as an act of faith, and let him work. Let's bow for prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the first question is, where are you at in relation to Christ in your life? Have you opened your heart and just invited him in? Say, Jesus, here I am. Take me. If that's you, just do a simple prayer right now. Say, just repeat quietly to him. Just say, Father, I need your help. It's bigger than I am. I invite Jesus into my life. Forgive me of everything I've tried to do on my own. I'm going to trust him as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you already have Christ in your life and you're being stretched. You're being really stretched. And as an act of faith, you need to allow the rope of patience to just get a little longer. You gotta believe God and say, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to trust you and expect good things. I'm going to try and do it without murmuring and complaining. And I'm going to be confident, like Job, that in the end, you're going to turn it around for me. I want you to take just a few moments of silence and let God, through the Holy Spirit, just speak to your hearts right now. Father, you hear the prayers of your people. And I pray you'll do a deep work of healing and hope that each person here will pitch their tent, their abide, their abode, where they live with you in the land of hope, in the land of your grace, in the land of your tender mercies. Do the miraculous for that person today that needs your special touch of grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.